I'd like to share a little thought this morning. I'll give a little background. A couple of months ago, I had a longing desire to read a good book. And but most of our books are in boxes still. Anyway, lo and behold, Sister Lisa shows up at service bringing me a book. And I want to share some thoughts from that this morning. I feel like there's a lot of good lessons. But another thing, it was a book about the Titanic. The title of the book is called A Night to Remember. And I was always, have kind of always been fascinated with the thought of the Titanic. And, you know, the pictures, they've located where it's at, and they've went down and they've taken pictures of the Titanic, where it sits on the bottom of the ocean floor. But reading this book gave me a lot more in-depth knowledge of what people did and how people responded, and kind of more of the background of the book. It was probably one of the greatest sea tragedies in history, because so many people were lost that didn't survive from the sinking of the Titanic. There was 1,316 passengers, and there was 891 crew members, which made it 2,207 people. It was very interesting. The author brings out there was another book that was written years before, and I don't remember how many years, 5 years, I don't really remember. But it was a novel, and in this book, this man, I don't know if the makers of the Titanic made the Titanic from this book, but the author, the name of the ship in his book that was written before the Titanic was ever built, was called the Titan, T-I-T-A-N. It was 800 and some feet long, as was the Titanic. The Titanic was just a little over 800 feet, and they said that's about like 3 city blocks. And I believe it's like eight stories tall. So it was a very, very big ship. And there was an air about the Titanic of it being unsinkable. There were different things. It had 16 compartments in the bottom of it that could be locked, airtight locks. One of the passengers remembers one of the crew that was loading the ship made the statement as they were boarding and loading up the ship that God himself wouldn't be able to sink that ship. It was a luxury liner. It was, they had first class, second class, third class. The cheaper the fares, the lower you were on the boat. The more you paid, the higher the class, the higher up you were on the boat. The thing about tragedies, though, is that they could have been prevented. Could have been prevented by simple measures. They had received 6 messages from other ships in the area that there was an ice field ahead. They didn't slow down. They didn't adjust course. And it was approximately, well, it was, when it hit, it was 11:40 in the evening, April the 14th, 1912. They saw the iceberg before they hit, but they didn't have time to maneuver a ship or change course that quickly. They did try to change, but it was too late. The ship was so large that when they hit, the people that were in the bottom on that side could hear the grinding of the metal. They could hear the tearing and the ripping. But most of the people on the ship, they just felt a jolt. This ship was so large, they just felt a jolt and kind of a shuddering that went through. And most people asked, what was that were still awake at the time? This was 11:40 at night. And some left their cabins to go find out what was wrong. Others just kind of slept it off and went back to sleep. It took probably approximately a half hour for them to really assess the damage, and they started lowering the lifeboats. This was a luxury liner. It was not, there was not near enough lifeboats to man. There was only probably, I think, 14 lifeboats, and then they had two that they called, they were just kind of a makeshift temporary thing that. But when they hit and they realized, the captain gave orders for women and children to get on the boats. Nobody wanted to get on the boat, on the lifeboats. They wanted to stay on the ship. It felt more secure. If you can imagine them lowering the lifeboats down from several stories up, out on these ropes in the darkness of night in freezing cold temperatures, you could understand why many people didn't want to get on the lifeboat out in the middle of the sea in the middle of the night. It was very cold. The water temperatures had dropped. The temperatures had dropped during the day, and the water temperatures was 28 degrees. But it was women and children on the boats first. And they had firearms, they had pistols to deter men that didn't want to respect that order. There was, sad to say, all the lifeboats weren't filled to capacity. The first one that took off only had 25. Some women refused to leave their husbands. They just had a hard time. The more the ship started tilting as the time clicked by, the more people became willing to get into the lifeboats but it was a very difficult night, a very difficult evening. I wouldn't have wanted to have been in that captain's shoes. The regrets, the remorse that he must have felt because they didn't take warning. There was another ship, the California, and I didn't realize this before reading this book, 10 miles away. They saw the lights of the Titanic. They could see the lights. They saw the rockets being shot off, the signal rockets being shot off. And I don't know, they were in a stupor. Maybe it was the Lord's will that it be that way. Apparently that's the way it worked out. But that ship 10 miles away, they could have saved every member that was on the Titanic. The radio person retired and left his job, and I think that wasn't supposed to happen. He left his radio signal, so he wasn't receiving signals. The ship went down approximately at 2:40. So they had about 2 hours before the ship went down. There were, at the last, people were jumping off into the water trying to grab anything. Some of the people were able to swim to some of the lifeboats. They had one boat that they struggled getting loose, and it was one of the makeshift one. It wasn't a regular one, but it came off. It was upside down, and these men were trying to stay on it, and they were being bombarded. People wanted to swarm that little boat. One man swam over there to the boat, and they said that this is going to sink if you try to get on the boat. And the man said, "God bless you all." And he turned and he swam in another direction. The only man that survived was a man was a man that had taken several shots of brandy. So his system was inoculated to the cold. And he was the only one that was survived that was in the water. You can't survive in water temperatures that low. But I think about, I think about the warnings that they received and the warnings that came that way. And the Carpathia was another ship that was 58 miles away when they found out the radio signal that the Titanic was in trouble. And they changed course and went full speed, which was very, very dangerous to do, to try to rescue. But they weren't able to get there till it was about 3:30 in the morning when they got there. And when they got there, they had the coordinates where the Titanic was last recorded, but there was no Titanic there. And they began to see these little bitty lifeboats out on the ocean. I just think about how that God is faithful to warn us, to talk to us, to speak to us. But sometimes we have our own course of thoughts and our own course set. And it's like we kind of continue on full speed. This story relates so much to me just of life. Although it was a very great tragedy to them. But I think about sometimes how we need to be able to make some mid-course adjustments from the signals and the things that come our way. It's not, many times the signals are not great. They're not maybe real dramatic. But the Lord has signals. There's warnings that He gives to us, and we want to be able to hear those. And not so set on one course that we can't make a mid-course adjustment to avoid a tragedy. I remember years ago when we lived in Oregon, we had some friends there. They weren't in fellowship with us, but we would get together from time to time with their family. They had children about the same age as our children. And Leah and I, on one occasion, one visit, they came over, I believe it was on a Saturday, and they spent several hours. But we noticed, throughout the time there, we noticed little things. There was no big argument between them or anything like that, but we just noticed little things of disrespect and dishonor towards one another. Looks, disrespectful looks, disrespectful gestures. And we talked about it a little bit, Leah and I did, after they had left that night. We were laying in bed, mentioned that. And a few months later, we got word that they were getting a divorce. Shocked us. We were totally unprepared. They'd gone to church. He had taught at church. We were shocked. We just couldn't hardly believe that it was possible. But there was little warning signals there. There was little signs there that we saw. That needed some mid-course adjustments. Stop. We've got to stop. We've got to think about what we're doing. We've got to think about what's happening. We've got to make some adjustments. There are times that we have to do that. That we need to do that. we just keep going, plowing on full speed. This is just the way it is. We're going to hit a tragedy. We're going to hit. We want to be open. We want to be sensitive. But I think about the the opportunity to be able to make some adjustments is a valuable thing. They lost their marriage, deeply affected their children. I just recently had someone else that a friend that I went to school with, I found out that he lost his marriage. They divorced after 40 years of marriage. How do you do that? Shocked me. Thought, man, if you make it 40 years, seem like you can make it a few more. But I think it's because people fail to stop and reevaluate and readjust course. We just have a tendency to keep moving on as is. Just like the Titanic. Somebody I was visiting with, somebody that had Facebook access, they told me, they said, it's happening all over. It's happening all over. People are giving up on their marriages after 40 years of marriage. It's just, it's unbelievable. But it happens. Lord, help us to be able to see. I feel like this disrespect and dishonoring, when there's disrespect and dishonor, it ought to signal something to us. When it happens in homes, families, relationships, when there is dishonor and disrespect, it ought to raise a red flag to us. It ought to alarm us. And I'm much more aware now because I've seen the tragedies of it. But Lord, help us to be willing to make some adjustments in life. Be willing to. Another thing that was difficult was there. Those cabins on the Titanic were so nice and warm, and the outside was so cold. And they had to inconvenience themselves. Much more comfortable just to stay in that warm cabin room. They had to inconvenience themselves to make some adjustments and changes. Lord, help us today to be able to hear and see the Holy Spirit. He speaks to us through people. He uses people. He uses people that are not even saved. He spoke through a mule before. But we could just slough it off and say, oh, that's just so-and-so. And all the time, the Lord's giving the warning signal. You know, Jesus mentioned, he talked about the man that built his house on the shifting sand. The man that built his house upon the rock. And he has the words in there. He said, great, great was the fall of it when the house came down, when it fell. There's a lot of, and we are living in a world filled with tragedies, with brokenness. Hurt, with pain. Lord, help us to endeavor to be a lifeboat. Endeavor to be a source of help, source of encouragement, source of strength. You know, we don't always know what goes on in a person's heart and mind and where they're at in life. So Lord, help us today to be alert, watchful, prayerful. Jesus mentioned so many different times in the Scriptures that day doesn't come up on you unawares. Help us to watch. Help us to pray. Help us to be on our guard. You know, the Titanic, it's such a... Approximately a third of the people were saved that night. It was a little over 600. People were saved. And it all could have been prevented. It all was preventable. And a lot of tragedies in life are that same way. They're preventable. If we'll listen and take heed to the warnings and be willing to make some adjustments. Appreciate your attention this morning. Pray for me.
I would like to make a few comments related to this because it hits home. We all go through life. We're all traveling through life. Our whole life is made up of choices. We meet choices every step of the way. From the way they built that ship to the choices of who was on that ship. There was people that didn't get on that ship by chance, you might say. But the Lord could have had a hand in that. But every single thing that happened along the way, the warnings that came and went unheeded. The Lord's calling is for us to hear His soft, gentle voice. He has a way of dealing with us each one individually. I was talking to Pastor, and he told me, he said, generally the Lord deals with someone in a certain way about three times. And if they don't respond, then He'll back off. And then maybe He'll come back another way and deal with them. But he said, usually it's about three times. I want to tell a tiny, tiny bit of how the Lord dealt with me. Because I think I didn't come here to speak this morning. But I want to tell you that time and eternity means everything. It's going to be the final, final decision that God makes and how He deals with us. And when He dealt with me, it's now been about 16 or 17 years that the Lord dealt with me, saved me. But He showed me things in my life. He gave me a dream that I don't have time to tell here. But it was so intense and so powerful that I will never, ever, ever forget it. And one little part of it, he showed a man on a little bitty boat. And out the back of that boat was a rope, maybe an inch. It was a big rope. And it was tied to a raft on the back. And there was a man on the front of this boat. And he had a pole in his hand. And it was down in the water, and he was trying to guide this boat and this raft with that pole. And off the back where the raft was, there was a little boy on the raft. The little boat was like a boat you'd see on the lake. It was about 20 feet long. And it had a tarp over it. And that tarp was perfectly clean. And it was stretched tight. Stretched so tight. It was just not a flaw in it. Except that it was kind of humped up just a little bit in the back underneath. And the Lord began to deal with me and tell me, there's so much more to it, but I want to tell you all this because I think it's important today. The Lord began to deal with me and He said, Steve, you were the man on the boat, on the front of the boat. You were guiding your life your own way and you had no way to protect yourself against the waves and the pressures of the world. They would come against you and all you had was a little pole in your hand and you were trying to guide your little bark. And not only guide your little bark, but He said the raft. That's your children and your family that's tied to you. And where you lead them, they believe in you. And they will follow you. The choices that we make, the places that we allow ourselves to get into, we say, well, nobody much knows. No. It's like Brother Bob was saying, they picked up some spirits, some disrespect, some things. There was things in my life. And the Lord said that tarp, He said, oh, you tried to keep it so clean and look so good to the people and the people of God and your family. But He said you had things underneath it, and that was what that hump was, and you were hiding it. And you were letting those things control your life. And so the Lord dealt with me, and I'm going to tell you, if you have any of that in your life, pull that tarp back. Pull it back. And say, Lord, see what I've got on my hands, because I don't want any of this there at the judgment day. I want all this to be gone. And the only way to do that is have it exposed before the Lord fully. You think that the damage won't be done, but it will be done. Your children will follow you. So whether or not you're caught up in something like that, Brother Bob said, people marry 40 years and then they get a divorce. I would say, that it was long before that 40 years that these things were stuffed under the tarp. And as they kept getting put there, it kept building up and building up and building up tensions, problems. The Lord wants us to humble ourselves before Him. To lay ourselves out. Lord, I'm pulling the tarp back. I want to get on your great ship again. I don't want these things to hold me back when that eternal time comes. The Lord told me, He gave me a definition of time. It's the continual footsteps of a soul approaching the gates of eternity. And if you stop and think about that, the depth of what that really means, it's far more than our mind can even hardly comprehend. Because we are continually taking steps. Every choice and everything that we do in our life is one more step in our lives. It's one more thing, one more direction, it's one more choice that we make. A choice of not doing anything. Maybe the Lord speaks to us and says, I want you to go over here and help so and so, talk to them. Do you know if we make a choice not to do what the Lord wants, it's the same thing. It's just on the opposite side. If you have a place in your soul, maybe it's not even sin, but it's a temptation. It's a place. I gave a message here a while back about giving place to the devil. If you have a place in your life that is drawing you away, it's causing you to take your ship and just keep going, even though the Lord is calling. I'm just going on, speeding on my own way. The Lord's call isn't just because He wants to make you do something different. It's because there's a depth to it of power and anointing and love and deliverance and freedom. It's giving you something that you've never had or have given up in the past. I don't know where everyone here is, but there's a reason why the Lord sends these kind of messages. And I would say, let's open the altar and give a chance if somebody wants to pray. You may be saved, but you want more power and more strength in your life. It actually takes power to be able to shut your ship down and say, I want to back off. I don't want to keep going at this rate because I see there's danger ahead. The Lord gives us little signs in our life. Every one of us has a rope and a tie to somebody else in this life. So maybe we could sing a song or two that the Lord would open a door, help us to get closer to Him.